Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
This is the Rich Eisen Show. Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
Before I let you go here, Chris, what's your first blush thought on this matchup?
I think if you were the Eagles, probably rather play the Bengals.
Really?
The Rich Eisen Show. Earlier on the show, three-time NFL Defensive Player of the Year, J.J. Watt. CBS Sports broadcaster, Ian Eagle. Lions quarterback, Jared Goff. Still to come. Two-time Super Bowl winning head coach, Tom Coughlin. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
Hour number three of the Rich Eisen Show is on the air. 844-204-RICH is the number to dial. Chris Brockman's got an overreaction Monday, as we shall be, I guess, what, previewing what the overreactions would be based on results of this coming weekend?
Yeah,
there's a couple
of those, and then a couple of from the news over the weekend.
All right, we're also turning around soundbite, if you will, tough for me to say, turning around a soundbite of Sean Payton speaking today as the new head coach of the Denver Broncos, being introduced by the ownership group, and standing to his left is Condoleezza Rice.
Oh.
Yeah, so she was part of the hire of Sean Payton there in Denver. And he obviously spoke about what's going on with his quarterback and his plans for said quarterback and what the Denver Broncos are planning to do in this upcoming draft season and talent evaluation season. Sean Payton is scheduled to appear on our show on Friday as we hit the Super Bowl city and state. Pardon me, it's the Arizona Super Bowl. We will be at the Super Bowl experience starting Wednesday. On tomorrow's program, we've got another terrific guest list. Sauce Gardner, a defensive rookie of the year candidate. Garrett Wilson, an offensive rookie of the year candidate. They both happen to play for the New York Jets.
Your guys.
Dan Patrick, my buddy, DP, will be on our program. And Trevor Lawrence and his flowing locks will be here on the program.
Nice.
Hey, Trevor, tell me the best story about Urban Meyer. That's coming up.
Is that your first question?
Nah. You're going to leave with that?
I don't think I'll even ask him. I'm not going to ask him.
Seems like you left a guy out of this list, too, Rich. Someone you called me the other day about.
Who's that? He's on Wednesday.
Oh, Wednesdays. Okay.
This is Tuesday's show. You're talking about Seth Rollins. I called him the other day. Seth Rollins is going to be in studio on Wednesday at the Super Bowl, scheduled to appear, if you will.
We've got a great week.
Right. Somebody please check on Tom Coughlin. The fact that he didn't call in five minutes early, and the fact that he's not calling in right now, it scares me. Actually,
we're trying to find
very him. Frightened.
It's out of character, right?
It is. Did I ever tell you my favorite Tom Coughlin story?
No, but please do.
I'll tell you right now.
Oh, I've heard this a few times.
Oh yeah. So it was the NFL owners meeting. It was the farewell owners meeting for Paul Tagliabue before he's changed and went to the NFL
for Mr. Roger Goodell.
Commissioner Goodell. And Coughlin and all the coaches are all at owners meetings. This one was held in Hawaii. Mm-hmm. Very rare. They never go to Hawaii. But this was sort of like a farewell to Paul Tagliabue. We went to Hawaii. Oh, he's on the phone line right now. So this is great. I'll tell this story when we come back. But joining me here on the Rich Eisen Show right now is a two-time Super Bowl winning head coach and now author of the book A Giant Win Inside the New York Giants Historic Upset Over the New England Patriots in Super Bowl. Let me get this right. 42. That's my my good. Sometimes I don't read Roman numerals very well without my glasses. Available now wherever you get your books. Tom Coughlin here on the Rich Eisen Show, helping us preview and kick off Super Bowl week. How you doing, Coach?
Hey, Rich. How are you?
I'm doing great.
Got to mention Glendale now. You know, my two favorite cities in the country are Glendale, Arizona, and Indianapolis.
That's right.
There you go.
I was there. That day. It was 15 years ago. Last week was the
yes, it was. Yes, it was. February 3rd.
Well, you know, I want to, leading up to that, you know, ask you about that night in the Meadowlands to end the regular season, because that was that was a huge night for NFL Network, Tom. I mean, we were getting a whole bunch of people saying, how can we see the game? NFL Network wasn't everywhere like it thankfully is right now. And everybody wanted to see the Giants against the Patriots because the Patriots are going for an undefeated regular season. You were already locked into your seat to make the playoffs. Why did you push the pedal to the metal that night the way that you did?
Rich, that's a great question. And the answer is very simple. You know, we go to Buffalo and win. I won't tell you the lead-up stories. They weren't real pretty. We go to Buffalo and we win. And now we're in the playoffs. And the first question I get asked is, Coach, you're going to rest your players? It's like, you know, section B of the you have to ask questions. So anyway, I get back and I'm stern about that. That bugged me. But in thinking about it, hey, I'm the head coach of the New York Giants, the red, white, and blue, the flagship franchise of the National Football League. I'm a historian. I never want it said in years going forward that with a team striving for an undefeated season, the New York Giants didn't put their best foot forward. So I presented that to our team, Rich, and they bought in completely. They wanted to compete against, at that time, 15-0 New England Patriots, quarterbacked by Tom Brady and the greatest offensive machine in the history of the NFL at that point in time, and Bill Belichick, one of the greatest defensive coaches of all time.
So do you think your performance a month later in that Super Bowl was born out of you going toe-to-toe with that team that night, that it was, for the lack of a better word, pardon me, an easier sell to the team to say we can hang with these guys had you not competed that night, Coach?
Well, we walked off the field, and we could hear the Patriot players and the Giant players as they, you know, as they talked going off the field. And so my feeling and listening was that the Patriot players thought that they had gotten all they wanted that night, and they thought we were a pretty good football team. And even one or two of them would say, maybe we'll see each other later on. So I think there wasn't any doubt about that. But the thing to remember, Rich, that game was 38-35.
Right.
The Super Bowl was to be a completely different kind of a game. So we learned, the Patriots learned about the Giants, and the Giants learned about the Patriots, because that night of week 17, the only deciding factor was a long pass from Brady to Moss, which was the deciding factor in the game.
Yeah, that was a 65-yarder that caused them to have their milestone moments of touchdown passes and touchdown receptions. But, you know, and right, as you pointed out, it was a much more defensive battle in that Super Bowl. When you were standing on the sidelines, did you see that Tyree caught the ball with his helmet, or did you have to see it up on the screen that night?
No, I saw it. I thought I saw it. But what was more difficult for me, and what really presented the bigger anxiety before the ball even got thrown, was three Patriot players are on Eli just like, you know what. I mean, they penetrate. They're on him. And I'm looking first at him to see, you know, he's wiggling. Then I look at Mike Carey. Mike, don't blow this dead. Don't blow this dead, you know. Mm-hmm. And so out of that somehow, Eli wiggles forward and fires the ball down the field like a javelin, you know, a long throw. And I'm thinking, oh, my God, don't overthrow this, Eli, because it'll be intercepted. But David Tyree, you know, 6 foot, 195 pounds. Rodney Harrison, 6'2", about, you know, 215. They go up in the air, and David Tyree makes a great catch with two hands. As soon as that happens, Rodney Harrison strips one hand away, and David Tyree has the presence of mind to pin the ball to the side of his helmet. So the next question is, can he possibly hang on? He goes to the ground, and then the thing that I tell people about all the time is, if you and I are playing in the backyard and somebody goes across the back of my knees, the ball is coming out. You know, you're going to try to defend and protect your knees more than you are the football. David Tyree gets Rodney Harrison across the back of his knees and still hangs on to the ball, secures it again with two hands and pulls it in. And again, Rodney's swiping away at the ball, and he's able to hang on to the ball. So it is, Rich, the greatest catch in the history of the Super Bowl.
Tom Coughlin here on the Rich Eisen Show, two-time Super Bowl champion right here. A giant win inside the New York Giants' historic upset over the Patriots in Super Bowl 42, available now where you get your books. What was your was it just a brief chat? Did you ever talk to Belichick about this ever since?
No.
Nothing.
No, but people forget, you might not because you watch these things. But, mm-hmm. you know, when we held them, there was, 38 seconds left.
Right.
They threw two rockets. Brady threw two rockets down the field. The first one was close, defended. The second one was just defended. So there's a few seconds left, and we got to go out and kneel down, you know. Across the field comes Bill Belichick. He comes about 5 yards from my sideline. I go out from the sideline. We hug. He says some very gracious things for a guy in that situation who, you know, had just fought everything he had to try to get the undefeated season for history and for his Patriot team. But then turned and left, and he was criticized for that. You know, the game wasn't over. The game wasn't over. But that's how the thing ended, was Bill walking back, and he went directly to the locker room.
Well, but you guys are from the Parcells staffs,
yep.
right? From back in the day.
Yes, we are.
What do you got for me on? What do you got for me on Parcells? What's your? You got a favorite Bill Parcells story, Tom Coughlin, that you can?
I don't have. I mean, Parcells is Parcells. You know, he's very, very direct. There was never any wasted time, no wasted verbiage. You knew exactly what was expected of you, and he was, you know. He was a great guy to work for because he was so direct. And of course, we had a heck of a football team in 90 when we won that Super Bowl over the Buffalo Bills. But the experience for me was a great one in that with Wellington Mara, with George Young, with Bill Parcells, with continuity, with the way they built their franchise and the way that they stuck with their franchise and their people. You know, you remember in 88, we were 10-6, got knocked out of the playoffs mm-hmm. by the Jets. And Mr. Mara came in the next day and shook hands with everybody and thanked them for their contributions. And later, we're in the, you know, obviously in the playoffs in 89. We win it in 90. Mr. Mara does not have to come in and shake our hand. You know, it's there for us. So the experience with Bill Parcells was a great one for me, a one of learning about winning. But there were great coaches on that staff. I mean, Belichick did a tremendous job. You know, the historical story about his game against our defensive game against Buffalo, our defensive game against the 49ers. You know, if we don't beat them, they win three in a row. You know, that kind of stuff was just terrific.
Tom Coughlin here on the Rich Eisen Show. Do you have a sense of how Super Bowl 57 is going to go on Sunday? You got any opinion on what you're thinking?
I'm just a fan like you are, Rich.
Right.
I'm looking at that thing and seeing strong points from both teams and praying for a good game.
Is there any comparison for Mahomes to the guys that you were either quarterback coaching or coaching against in your days, Tom?
Well,
you got one.
The amazing thing about Mahomes is that he has escapability, but he's not escaping to run. He's escaping to provide more time for people to get open down the field, and then he has an uncanny ability to be accurate. You know, on the move with all kinds of variety of plays, whether he's flipping the ball, throwing it underhand, whatever. He's very unique in that particular way. We've competed, obviously, down through the years with quarterbacks that have outstanding mobility, and they are very, very difficult to defend. But this is a different style. They may run, you know, Andy's run the speed option and that type of thing, but I don't think we would see that if there's any threat of injury to that kid.
Yeah, I know. I mean, like, I'm trying to figure out, like, I mean, he's not, I mean, Elway was huge, right? Big, huge
big
body
man.
Guy. Rodgers, like maybe he's a different version of Aaron Rodgers. I don't know if there's any comparison for Mahomes.
I don't either.
Right?
I think they're unique. I think the three guys you just mentioned, they're all unique.
Right.
You know, you had Elway with tremendous ability. You know, the deep ball, you know, they would roll him one way and he'd throw it back across the field 70 yards the other way. You know, Aaron Rodgers is mobile. He's athletic. He has a great touch. He puts the ball right on the money down the field. And Mahomes is just a creator and done amazing things. For me, as I look at the evolution of the game,
yeah.
watching the playoff game a couple years ago, where with 13 seconds,
mm-hmm.
they moved the ball down the field, kicked the field goal to tie. It's incredible. I mean, nowadays you look at that. If there's any time on the clock, the other guy has a chance to win.
Right. Yeah, and he wound up beating the team that was featuring one of your successors at with the Giants, and Brian Daboll. Any similarities, do you think, with what Daboll's done with Jones that you had with Eli back in the day? Is there any potential connective tissue here, Tom?
Well, the connective tissue is both those guys were very, very smart. They had a great sense and feel for the game. Obviously, Eli was not a runner, but I laugh because, you know, we played the first game in Europe. In London was Giants and Dolphins, and the difference was Eli had a 10-yard touchdown run. but that game was in a quagmire. It was a different game. I think Daniel, it's good to see Daniel come into his own. I like him a lot. He's a very smart kid. He has a strong arm. He can run. He's not going to run. He'll run in the big games. He'll run when the opportunity's there. But like Mahomes, he's trying to get down. So those are the players today for me that are the most difficult to defend, those that have the ability, because what are you going to do? You put somebody up there who's going to, you know, mimic the quarterback, if you will, can't double everybody. You know, you can't. So if they know where the matchup is and the ability to move people around up front, where the matchup they're looking for happens to be, ball's going there.
Mm-hmm.
And it'll go there very quickly. So if you lay back, he runs. You know, it's just an interesting concept now. Because of the chess game that's played with even a guy like Mahomes, if you drop everybody out of there or play what I used to call 22 man, and they see they can run into a hole with it too deep, then he's going to do it.
Yeah. Tom Coughlin here on the Rich Eisen Show. And a couple minutes I have left with you, Tom, I want to ask you a couple of off-the-board questions here. First one for you. That playoff win in Green Bay, famous for so much. But it's also famous for how red your face was. Were you frostbitten? You know, and how long did it take you for your face to thaw out from that game, Tom?
I think June of the following year. No, I'm just kidding. It was fine. Right. My face is an Irish face anyway,
yes,
that looks like, you know, like somebody stuck a bunch of berries on my face. It's red here. It's red there. It's all over the place. So,
okay.
But it's interesting because I got letters from people that I'd never heard of that were sincerely concerned about whether I was, you know, frostbitten.
Yeah, I know. I was wondering if any loved ones were like calling you after, are you all right? I was wondering that watching the game, you know? I mean,
they were all concerned. In the locker room after the game.
Okay. Yeah. Very excited.
Everybody was there. That was a fun game. That was some game now. Eli threw the ball like it was 75 Plaxico. I think he had 11 catches. It was unbelievable.
If I'm not mistaken, that was Favre's last game as a Packer, too, Coach.
It was. We got a lot of last games that we don't have time to talk about.
Cool.
But it was his last game there. And remember, it was Corey Webster with the pick in overtime that set the ball up. I mean, we didn't make a yard after we intercepted the ball. But Lawrence Tynes was our outstanding field goal kicker who had missed two field goals. One was a bad snap given. The other one was just a miss. I had asked him earlier in the game, I said, Lawrence, can you kick a 46-yard field goal? This is in the first half. He turned his back on me and walked away. So when it came time for that one, it was 47 yards, and I just stood there and looked at him. I didn't say a word. I looked at him. He dropped his cape and ran on the field. I yelled, field goal. The coaches are all yelling at me, oh, coach, what if he misses? Look at the field position the Packers will have. You know, he kicked it. It could have been 55. He would have made it.
I love it. Fantastic. And then the last one for you is we had Jesse Palmer on the show last week.
You didn't say that. I was going to say it. That's the funniest thing I've seen in a long time.
Okay, so you saw
people had to send that to me because they were in stitches. They couldn't help themselves.
We were too. So what's your perspective? What's your end of that conversation then?
Well,
that he said?
The funniest part about it is when he tells you that he's sweating bullets calling me, and you tell him you're sweating bullets thinking he has to call me.
That's right. I was.
That was great.
I was.
That was funny.
So
that was funny, I'll tell you.
So what was your end of that? Do you remember when he called you up?
I remember all of it. I remember all of that. You know, he's telling me where he's going, and I'm sitting there listening patiently and trying to figure out what the message is here, wondering if there's something coming, you know. I coach because of this. Can I miss it? OTAs? And I said, you coming to, you know, the mini camps and OTAs? And, oh, yeah, coach, I'll be there. So there's a pause, and I'm thinking out loud, okay, Jesse, what in the world are you calling me for?
I love that.
But everybody knew, all Giant people, the whole building knew that he was in The Bachelor. So the idea that I would know it was Jessica, you couldn't miss it because all the equipment guys naturally talking about
it. I was about to say, how are you up to speed on what was happening in The Bachelor? How are you up to
speed? All I have to do is get it from the equipment guys. They got everything. They know everything. If you need to know anything about any of the teams in the league, just call one of the equipment guys.
And they were on it. They were on it. Oh, my
gosh. They loved it because they couldn't wait for him to get back because it was more material to be busting chops in the locker room.
I love it. I'm so glad that you saw that because it was such a funny story. And congrats on the book. Can you just tell me how the book has been received and your thoughts on this book being out there and your career, writing a memoir, coach?
Well, I wrote the book because it became obvious to me that this was 15 years. And I couldn't believe it was 15 years. But it's a great, great story that needed to be told. Because remember now, I mentioned about the Patriots, the greatest offensive machine in the history of the game. The receivers everywhere, they could running game. Defensively, they were fourth in the league in many, many categories, loaded with talent, loaded with ability. So you had that object. You had a guy in 06, they wanted to fire me. The media in New York wanted me out of town. So making adjustments and learning from that experience and then coming back and then having the opportunity to go against a team in which nobody as the playoffs started, not one person, Fox had the game, okay? Mm. And Fox has got this game. And this game is in, like I told you, this is in
same
in Arizona, just as our game was in Arizona, in Glendale.
Yep.
So there's some similarities. But basically I wrote it because it's the great American success story. People tell you can't do something. What do? You come up off the floor. We were 0-2, Rich. 0-2. They're going to fire me in the third game of the year. We go to Washington and win. We get in the second half of the year. We should win 12 games. We win 10. We lose to Minnesota. Eli throws 4 picks. We lose to Washington against a backup quarterback. So all of these things. And then it just comes to the point that what is the status of our country right now? COVID, recession, inflation. The average guy can't buy eggs anymore, can't buy a loaf of bread. Well, the story again is like this. You get knocked on your rear end. What are you going to do about it? You get up and you swing harder than you've ever swung before, which is the old way that we used to talk about things in this country. But I think it goes parallel with the story of the 2007 and 2008 New York Giants, because what we came out of, you could have sort of asked this question earlier. I didn't answer it. But what we came out of that first game was, you can't let Tom Brady stand on his spot. So we sacked him 5 times, knocked him down 16 times, and he is a tough hombre now. We hit him sometimes as hard as you could hit him. He's back up. The last couple plays of the game, we hit him on the first down and just drilled him. And then he ended up, they rolled him out, and he threw it 60, 65 yards. So, I mean, a team of that nature that were 18-0, and, we went obviously 4-0 in the playoffs, won the Super Bowl. Eli had one pick in the whole time, and that was that Steve Smith tipped it up in the air kind of thing in the first part of the game. And as we were driving it, our rookie class played superior football. They acted like veterans at the end of the year. Steve Smith was outstanding. Kevin Boss, Ahmad Bradshaw, these guys just were unbelievable for rookies.
Well, it's called A Giant Win Inside the New York Giants, Historic Upset of the New England Patriots in Super Bowl 42. Tom Coughlin, thank you for the call. And I guess on behalf of every other quarterback that's playing in the NFL or going to play in the NFL, I guess thank you for making sure Tom Brady didn't retire with 9. You know, so, you know.
Thank you.
Thanks for the call.
Hi, Rich.
Thanks for the call.
Good to talk to you.
Be well. Right Take back care. At you. Tom Coughlin, 2-time Super Bowl winning head coach. Hey, I love the look on your face, Chris. He saw it.
He heard about it. That's amazing.
With Jesse Palmer's story about calling Tom Coughlin to make sure that he could do The Bachelor because Tom had just been hired and the previous approval for doing The Bachelor was given by Jim Fossil, who was no longer there, is one of the laugh-out-loud funniest stories ever told on this program.
Very, very good.
If you didn't bring it up, I was.
Fantastic. Oh, I was going to bring it up.
Oh, yeah,
but just for
to
him
me.
To say that, like he'd been waiting on it.
Sent it to Tom Coughlin. It is too funny. 844-204-RICH, number to dial. We'll be back here on the Rich Eisen Show. Tom Brady has spoken today about his future. We will hit that next right here on the Rich Eisen Show.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial. And with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown. And through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
The Rich Eisen Show Radio Network, back with the Roku Channel broadcast. I'm sitting at the Rich Eisen Show desk, furnished by Grainger, with supplies and solutions for every industry. Grainger is the right product for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. I saw your reaction to Coughlin saying that's one of the greatest catch. That's the greatest catch in the history of the Super Bowl. I know it was against you, and it hurts. You don't agree with it?
No, Edelman's is better.
The Boston Knee Party?
It's a great name. Yeah, better.
Okay. You have any opinion over there, TJ?
Yeah, we were just talking about that during the commercial break.
I mean,
that Edelman catch, I just so happened I was at a party that day and it popped up on my Facebook and I was trying to record something someone was saying in the room and I just happened to catch that. That yes. moment on, and the whole room was like, there's no way, there's no way. And then the replay started to show.
Oh, it's a catch. I know. Joe Buck called them both, by the way.
What do you think's better?
I can't imagine anything's better than Tyree's helmet catch. I mean, one was juggled, one was a tip, and then a juggled catch, and it's unbelievable. And both were significant in terms of winning the Super Bowl. One actually was Tyree was the actual game winning drive.
Yeah.
Edelman's was on the game tying drive that required a 2-point conversion at the end. I watched that back over the weekend because this past Saturday, Sunday, I think it was yesterday, was a six year anniversary of that.
Yeah, that's
comeback.
What we were talking about. Yeah,
and
I won't argue either one of those.
I watched. I can't believe it happened. Still, I'm not talking the Tyree catch. I'm talking about the comeback. Against Atlanta, 28-9 going into the fourth quarter. The Patriots scored but didn't get the 2-point conversion. So right. It's one of those like, oh, we might get something going. Oh, okay, we didn't
and
get
then
everything
they had to settle
that we
for a
needed.
Field goal, so it was 28-12.
The sack on 2nd and 11 to take the Falcons out of field goal range that they had acquired by what would have been.
Julio
to this
Jones's
day,
catch.
The greatest catch in the history of the Super Bowl. Julio Jones's catch in that game, in that instance, to me, was going to incredible. Go down as the greatest catch in the history of the Super Bowl because the Falcons were going to win, and they needed it to avoid this mounted comeback. And I am so sorry, Falcons fans. I know I'm going over really difficult ground here. But on 2nd and 11, had they just run the ball, just run it. Give me 3rd and 8. Give me 3rd and 7. Give me 3rd and 9. I'll take even 3rd and 11. You're taking another 40 seconds off the clock.
Yep.
Or another, what would you say, 50? Because the play would be 5. Take some time to get up.
And 40 seconds.
Right.
And then, yeah.
And instead, you pass. You hadn't been able to protect this guy. Even the part about the Julio Jones catch that was incredible is that Ryan, you know, got it off. He was being consumed by that front seven.
Yeah, the Julio Jones catch.
And instead, what that means is it took him out of field goal range. They ended up punting. When Julio Jones grabbed that ball, you thought it was, you had to think it was over. Nice comeback. Over.
Without question.
Because all you have to do is just run the ball three times and you just kick your field goal and you're out of Dodge.
I'm trying to find.
But when we're talking greatest Super Bowl catches of all time, Santonio Holmes is sitting there raising his hand like, hello?
Yeah. If he had, I mean,
come on.
You don't think he caught it? You don't think he got his feet down? Wow, Rich Eisen. Breaking news.
I still haven't seen a replay where I saw his foot tap.
By the way, can I be honest with you? Wow. I've said that since the day of the Super Bowl. I don't know that his right foot actually literally tapped
the
ground.
And I think this is not.
But you got to say, when you say greatest Super Bowl catch, that won the Super Bowl.
Fighting words.
I understand. Is that foot down?
Looks like it.
The left foot's down. I don't know about
like
the
I said,
right
the
one.
Right one that's always
let me
been
just
like,
say this, and I know this is well, I'm
the
already
throw by Ben on that.
Excuse
play.
Me, well, I'm taken. Well, I'm hot taken.
Mm-hmm.
The throw by Ben on that play is one of the best throws
incredible.
In the history of the Super Bowl. The catch is obviously remarkable as well. That
he gets
throw
it over like three dudes.
How Ben didn't win the MVP of that game, I don't know.
Yeah.
I think it was just anti-Ben.
And we remember, didn't Ben the play before throw
Dude.
Almost the? They ran the almost the exact same play,
oh,
right?
And
Ben was
gosh.
Awesome on that final drive.
Unbelievable!
Ben, he was awesome on that.
I mean, when I that Super Bowl, I came down. We all NFL Network. We were all in a green room, and we're all meeting. I was up in a suite. I come down and I meet Mooch and Marshall, and I think Irv was with us at the time. But we all met so we could get on the field for the post game. And we get on the field, and Larry Fitzgerald is running towards us for that touchdown.
Told me that, yeah.
And we're like, oh my God, Arizona's going to, they're up. Arizona's leading a Super Bowl with 3 minutes to go. Kurt was amazing in that game, too. And I got to tell you, I don't know. But if I had to choose best catch of all time, I'd have to choose the Tyree catch. I mean, you're handing the Patriots their first loss of the season and undefeated seasons on the line. I mean, come on now. And then he's you think it was holding. We just played.
There were three different holdings.
Eli Manning was joking. What are you talking about holding? They didn't block anybody, you know. And Coughlin saying that was the most, you know, biggest anxious moment is Brady's surrounded by three Patriots. He gets out of it. The fact that there wasn't also in the grass. This is, if you remember, in the grass era.
Yeah.
Okay, this was when they're beginning to start to protect the quarterbacks for the first time. In the grasp was called all the time. Didn't call in the grasp.
What was the crazy Lynn Swann catch? Who was that against?
DJ? That was against Dallas.
Lynn Swann had two of the greatest catches in the history of the Super Bowl in the same game.
I'm gonna put him on this list.
So then, you know,
let's not forget Mario Manningham's catch.
Well, that was also a beautiful throw. I don't
a better throw. By
I think
UI.
I think the throw just found Manningham, didn't it?
Better throw by you.
It was a great route. That ball was just, it was perfect. What a dime dropped.
Yeah.
But, I mean, Tyree pinned the ball against his helmet. And then a borderline, if you believe, more than borderline, Hall of Famer in Rodney Harrison is the one making sure that one arm is taken away and he's got to pin it against his helmet. Then he goes down behind on his knees. Look at that. His right, like we're just describing the radio audience, his right leg is leaning up against the inner left thigh of Tyree. As he's also got one hand, basically, Harrison's got a hand trying to knock the ball out while it's in front of his face mask. He's probably, Tyree always seeing, he's probably seeing Harrison's forearm. That's it. Come on.
Worst defense on that final drive, Asante Samuel or Rodney Harrison?
Well, I mean, come on. I mean, Plexico's wide open.
Ellis Hobbs.
844-204-RICH, number to dial here on the Rich Eisen Show. For the first time ever, stream the Super Bowl for free. Super Bowl 57s on Westwood One. Sunday, February 12th. Catch all the action on the Odyssey app on westwoodonesports.com via Westwood One. Station streams are by asking Alexa to open Westwood One Sports. It's time to say goodnight to that check engine light with the free AutoZone Fix Finder service. It'll help troubleshoot the likely cause of your light for free. Restrictions apply. Get in the zone. AutoZone. When we come back, Brady has spoken about his future. Sean Payton has arrived. He is now the president of the Denver Broncos and a future, I guess, edition of Overreaction Monday. Yes. That's how we roll into our Tuesday Super Bowl show here on the Rich Eisen Show.
It's only a kick, a jump, a block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle, a run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Monster.com can help you tackle the job hunt, make your next career move. It is a big time week, as you all know, in the world of football and scoring your next job. Monster.com knows that's a playoffs moment. And to bring your A game, you've got to go to Monster.com. If you're looking to change positions and join a new team, Monster can help. Monster.com has millions of job openings, great coaching and career advice for a strong performance when it counts. Plus, when you upload your resume to Monster.com, you can be recruited by employers before they even post their jobs. Monster.com specializes in building the right teams for employers, and that's how they know how to match you with those job fits. The regular season, as we all know, is history. This is a playoffs moment. No time for messing around. Get off the sidelines. Go to Monster.com and win the job hunt. Monster.com. Tom Brady told Colin Cowherd today, I guess, you know, does this mean he's working for Fox? Or I guess we'll see what happens this week. But he said, he told, I'm assuming he's going to be part. You got Tom Brady. He's got to be part of your pregame show at least, right? You got the Super Bowl?
I would imagine so. Yeah.
Well, at any rate, so Tom went on Colin's show today and told him that he's told the Fox executives he's not going to start his gig until 2024.
Hey, taking a me year.
Well, he's got a lot. Look, man, he's taken off. He said he's got other things to attend to, and we do not know what's going on in his personal life. We certainly do not. And I guess we will see if he will do stuff for Fox. Because I'd imagine, you know, if he's not going to call games. By the way, calling games, you've got to get on a plane. You've got to leave your town. And even if it is private aviation, you are physically removing yourself from your home and your family and whatever you need to be around or feel you need to be around for or want to be around for. You're out. And you're watching. Presumably watching tape. I mean, Kurt Warner, that's all he does is watch tape. That's all he does is watch tape. It's a gig. It's a full-time job.
Yep.
No question about it.
Kurt's kids are in college.
No, I know that. Well, not all of them. Not all of them.
Okay.
He's grandkids, too. I mean, he's got stuff going on. So, but taking a full year off, I mean, you'd have to think they got to reach out to him and give us some videos and break down videos, you know?
Yeah, hopefully.
Break down videos and break down film. You put it on digital stuff, unless he's just saying, I'm off and I'm out.
He's taking segments on Sunday
full year
something.
Off. Yeah. I don't know. That's a whole full season. We'll check back in next year on Tom. And he didn't also close the door on coming back either, did he? He didn't slam it shut?
Yeah, one of the clips going around, Colin kind of asked him, hey, you know, is there a 1% chance maybe you'd, you know, come back in a couple of months if the team and situation is right? And Tom kind of gave this minute-long answer but didn't say no.
Mm-hmm. I'm telling you, the greatest emergency quarterback in the history of emergency quarterbacks is hanging out in the South Florida dunes. something to keep your mind on.
Also, the sand went for like $100,000.
That's so stupid. Leave the man alone. Just leave the man alone. I say as I'm parsing his conversation in for 10 minutes. But I assume we will see him on the broadcast Sunday.
Pre-game at least, right?
I don't know. Who knows? Sean Payton has been introduced as head coach of the Denver Broncos. Obviously talked about Russell Wilson, who needs fixing. One would think. I'm sure that's the next narrative he hates. I'm not allowed to cook. Now I need fixing. So, I'm cooking. I'm not cooking. Who's cooking? Now it's about fixins.
Fixins.
It's that side, but that's, you know, that's on the side. He's the entree.
He's the main course.
Big time. Yeah. And all of that. This is what Sean Payton had. I'm told, I guess, you know, the sound isn't all that great. This Del Tufo clearly wasn't part of the Denver Broncos press conference. Check it out.
Here's what I know. I know he's a hard worker. I know he's an extremely hard worker. That's important. And I think you take that, you understand the skill set. He's won a lot of games in Seattle. We played him quite a bit just because we were both playoff teams in the NFC at that time. And then you go from there. And I think that's the same case, although it's a much more visible position, it's the same case and the same goal for us with every player on this roster. What do they do well? It's easy to point out what players don't do well. And there's certain coaches that tend to look at it that way. But I kind of was taught early on, hey, what is it they do well, and let's have them do those things. None of us want to go – I don't like singing, period, but none of us want to be at a karaoke bar with a song we don't know the words to. So how do we get them comfortable and highlight their strengths? And that's the process that's going to begin right now is I'm learning about every one of these players, not just Russell.
Okay, a few things. First of all, new hashtag, let Russ sing. secondly,
he is right about karaoke. I mean, you got to sing
please
songs everyone knows the words to. Like, come on.
Secondly, Walmart doesn't sell microphones. And thirdly, this guy's.
I thought that was us.
Thirdly,
you thought that was me?
No, that's not us. It's not us. Thirdly, this is gonna be fine.
Good enough to win the division?
Sean Payton, I don't know. Dude, I'm not going there
yet.
Hey,
Rich, here you go.
Stop.
I got an angle for you. New angle, okay?
Make it a part of your overreaction Monday.
You tried the Raiders last year.
No, stop it.
Didn't work.
Stop it.
Go Broncos.
Just before the Chiefs maybe win the Super Bowl.
This year. Go Broncos.
Get out of here. He's going to be fine. I mean, honestly, if there's anybody who... This guy, Drew Brees, might have been 6 feet, potentially standing on a phone book.
Yeah, maybe.
Okay? So Russ is listed at 5'11". He's going to figure out how Russ can be potentially helped by, oh, we did this with Drew. We did that with Drew. We did this with Drew. Got it. This is going to be fun. But I'm more concerned about their audio and visual than anything else. And
my luck, Del Tufo heard that part only.
And then he'll hear you. He'll hear from you. Okay. But everything... headline, everything's going to be fine in Denver. How fine? I don't know. That's the rest of the roster. But I think, Russ, this is like heaven sent to have Sean Payton dropped in there. Heaven sent. You ready, Chris? Let's hit it. Let's do it. Go for it.
Here we go.
Go for it.
That was terrible.
That was crap. That was garbage.
This place sucks.
Overreaction Mondays.
Monday. All right, Chris, this is meant to be the shortest version of it, but we're not coming off of any NFL games. Go for it. What do you got?
Yeah, short version. We're just going to look ahead maybe on what the possible scenarios are for next Sunday. If the Eagles win a Super Bowl, guys, they're on their way to a dynasty.
Yeah, I'll say that's an overreaction.
It's 2 and 5 years.
I get it. And different quarterbacks and coaches. So, but they could be, this will be a conversation if they ball out and they crush the Chiefs and their young players are all dominant and Jalen's dominant, and Devontae Smith and AJ Brown and Miles Sanders is dominant. Dallas Goedert is dominant.
Like if the game's not close, like what if it's, you know, like they did to the Niners?
Well, they'll be the favorites to maybe repeat out of the NFC, wouldn't you think, if they dominate?
Oh, they'll be back-to-back favorites. Oh, yeah. For sure.
What else, Chris?
All right.
Not a dynasty. That's a little bit of much. Right, but. All right.
If Mahomes wins the Super Bowl and his MVP.
Yes.
Just put him on the quarterback Mount Rushmore right now.
Jeez.
Like I have him on.
I know you have. That's too much, don't you think, TJ?
A little premature, as they say, Rich. Premature.
But two before 27. We've seen that Big Ben did it and Brady did it, but he'd have more playoff wins than they did. And he'd have potentially, he would also, if he's the MVP of the league, as we know, nobody's won MVP of the league MVP of the Super Bowl since Kurt Warner in his magic carpet ride first Super Bowl. Correct. I'll still say that's an overreaction.
All right, I did some quick math. Mahomes to track down Brady's record. So Brady is first in wins, yards, completions, attempts, and touchdowns. On Mahomes' current year pace through five, he would get wins in year 20, yards in year 19, completions and attempts in year 20, and touchdowns in year 17.
I told you it's possible he can catch Tom Brady and get within hailing distance. I said that to start the show.
It's possible.
But I'm still not ready to put him on Mount Rushmore right now.
All right, how about this one? If Hurts wins a Super Bowl and the Eagles are victorious and Hurts has a good game, he should get the biggest guaranteed quarterback contract this offseason.
Why not?
Yeah.
It's his time.
Pay the man.
And I know you hate it when I say it. It's his time.
He will have actually earned it.
If he does, correct. He could wind up making more than anybody else.
I'm just looking at the guys who are up. Herbert, Burrow, Lamar, and him.
I know. Yeah. I know. And each one of them will go, you go first. You go first. No, you go first.
I'm saying Hurts should be the highest out of all of them.
I understand what you're saying.
Pay that man
his
money.
If he's the MVP of the Super Bowl and wins the Super Bowl and he's now a free agent, oh, yeah, it's his time.
Yeah, for sure.
Burrow's not coming in with that stat line or that resume nugget, nor is Herbert.
Plus, Burrow's team CEO owner doesn't really seem to like to dole out the money that much.
What else you got?
I hear something else that people are going to talk about on Monday. If Kelce balls out MVP of the Super Bowl.
Yes.
It puts him ahead of Gronk for best all-time tight end.
Wow.
Tranquilo.
I think you got to have this conversation, right?
Like, 10.
Dude, he could track down Jerry Rice if he keeps going in terms of all-time postseason yards.
I know.
Yeah. Yeah, that's not an overreaction. And no tight end's ever won Super Bowl MVP. And he can.
Could happen.
But if he has the catches, that means Mahomes has the throws, and that's a tough
one.
Yeah,
you know how that goes. And plus, Tony Gonzalez is like, wait a second.
No playoff win. All right, last one. The Pro Bowl games is already the best pro all-star weekend. It was really fun.
I told you it was going to be
really
fun, man.
You were right.
I told you it was going to be fun.
Sarah was so into it.
Okay, I'll buy it. Just because I got friends who put that together.
They did a good job.
Very good. They did.
Yeah, because everyone constantly complained for years, and now you gave people something different.
It was fun.
Well, we saw more contact with Jalen Ramsey and Tyreek Hill than the previous Pro Bowl.
I don't think Jalen really could have.
My football was great.
All right. Thanks. Great job. Great job.
I like that.
That wraps it up for this Monday edition of the Rich Eisen Show. We will see you Tuesday before heading out to Arizona Wednesday.